Hello, this is Carl, and just have a few things before we start this episode. We had a group trying to make a beer documentary contact us called Brewland. We do talk about this on a much later episode that's already been recorded, so you can hear a lot more about it then. But the thing is, their Kickstarter is going to be ending in a few weeks. So go ahead and check them out. Just search Brewland. Actually, it's not Kickstarter, it's Indiegogo. So search Indiegogo, although they might have a Kickstarter too. Check that out as well. So check that out. The other thing is, I would like to say check out YouTube and search Brutal Battle Beer Break to check out some short videos of me tasting beers and talking about what I kind of drink on my off time. All right, thank you so much, and everyone, welcome to episode 82 of
Brutal Battle.
Yes, and Kyle Norman is back in full effect.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. We're here at the beach. We're here at Rehoboth Beach, chilling out with wine, beer and wine glasses. I almost said wine and beer glasses. That would be weird.
Yeah.
But beer and wine glasses, which it worked out for us last episode, and we'll see how it works out for us this episode. But first, you all thought I forgot, didn't you? But I didn't. It's what? It's hop knowledge. Today's hop is the Meridian hop. This is a United States hop, USA,
USA,
USA. Yes, so it is from the USA. The description on this hop, Meyer Lemon and Fruit Punch.
Fruit Punch?
Fruit Punch. That's one of the most unique descriptions I've ever heard for a hop. Very cool.
I can't say I've ever had a beer that I tasted and went, Fruit Punch.
Tastes
like wine punch. It's delicious.
I've never had one I've smelled and been like that. And honestly, if I did, it might cause problems because I had an issue in college with fruit punch, and I can't drink it. I can't smell it. Like, let's just say copious amounts of vomit, and the little thing we call Everclear. If anybody knows what that is, trouble.
It's moonshine.
Yeah.
Legal moonshine.
Yeah. But that was before craft beer for me. Well before craft beer. So anyway, they had the Meyer Lemon and Fruit Punch for the Meridian Hop. Details for it. It's grown by Indie Hops. It was accidentally discovered while attempting to resurrect the Columbia variety. Mainly used for flavor and aroma. And there are no substitutions for this hop because guess what? It's one of a kind.
With Fruit Punch, I would say so.
Yeah. Some examples of beers with Meridian hops. Haven't heard of either of these breweries, but then again, you know, that's kind of what happens on the show. Because I'm trying to get a smattering of breweries involved here. I don't want to just go with the big ones that everyone knows.
Do you pick out the breweries that use these hops, or is it on the
brewery? Yeah, no, I do. I just kind of like do a little Google and see what comes up. I don't work too hard, I'll tell you that much. It's whatever popping up first. So Meridian's used in the Summit Brewing's Meridian Session Ale, as well as Harvester Brewing's Fresh Hop Meridian Pale Ale. And honestly, I would love to try either of those because the sound of that hop is phenomenal. So can I get these breweries?
So breweries, if you're listening in.
Yeah, send them in.
Send in a couple.
Send it in.
It'd be greatly appreciated.
Come on. Like now. Like, what are you doing? Still listening. Just get to it.
Push pause. Yeah, you can come back later.
Yeah, it's always going to be there. We're going to be here. You control when we talk. Anyway, so we Kyle, you have yet another warm-up beer for us here.
Yes, sir. This one was also from Mr. O, so thank you, Mr. O. I appreciate it.
You the man.
This is another Hardywood beer. This is the Barrel Series Bourbon Crew.
Oh,
it's described as an Abbey-style quadruple aged in Virginia bourbon barrels. It's 12% ABV and 18 IBUs, so hopefully this one's delicious. I've never had an Abbey an Abbey-style quad aged in a bourbon barrel before, so this is a new experience for me.
Honestly, I haven't had many quads, period, and then any variation. I think the only quads I've ever had have just been like straight quads. Sure. So no sort of aging or special stuff done. So this will be interesting, and bourbon barrel.
Interesting. Yeah, that had Carlin written all over it.
I appreciate that. And Matt, thank you.
The quads. Aren't there a lot of Trappist breweries that do quads?
I believe so. I could be wrong on that. I'm not all that up to date on Trappist stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know as much about Trappist as I probably should. But then again, there aren't a whole lot of breweries that make Trappist, so...
There's only one in the U.S.
Exactly.
The rest are in the Netherlands and Belgium.
This smells What are you smelling on? Because I have a particular smell I'm getting.
Bourbon up front.
It's bourbony, but it's kind of fruity. It smells like...
A little bit, man.
It smells kind of sour to me. Like...
Well, okay. That's a sour if that's the bourbon coming through.
It smells kind of like... A little like sour cherries mixed with that bourbon.
All right, I can see that. I can see sour cherries.
As in, like, you know, like, when you get, like, real fresh, tart cherries, like, that kind of sourness to it.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I think just, like, an overall kind of sourness to it because, you know, we were at, and we'll talk about this a little bit more in a little bit after doing the full tasting of this beer. We were at Dogfish Head Brew Pub, and their Festina Pesh was on draft, and that's a Berliner Weiss, so it's a sour, obviously. And some of those kind of sourish notes in the smell are coming through the same in this beer.
Yeah, I'm getting bourbon, though, right up front.
Oh, I'm definitely getting the bourbon. Here's the thing. If there's a beer that's aged in bourbon, there's no way you can miss it. And if you miss it...
I would hope you wouldn't miss it.
You probably don't have a sense of smell or anything. Yeah. Which, stay tuned in a bunch of episodes, because I'll talk about, at some point, not having a sense of smell when it comes to craft beer. Kyle's looking at me very puzzled, but...
It's the one eyebrow up, one eyebrow down.
It'll make sense at some point, but just a teaser for what's to come.
Cheers, sir.
Yes, cheers to this. Bourbon barrel, please. Yeah, bourbon.
Yeah.
And bourbon.
Yeah.
And some bourbon.
And a little more bourbon after that.
A little bourbon on that. It's very bourbony.
Yeah, I'm not getting any of those tart cherries. I'm not getting any of the fruit.
I'm getting a little bit of it up front, a little bit of tart fruit to it, but then it's just like, it's bourbon, man.
Yeah.
This is like, it's like a bourbon beer.
It's like the easiest drinking bourbon I've ever had.
When it comes to like Abbey Quad styles, you know, in my opinion, like, think about any sort of like Abbey style beer you've had. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a little bit on the darker side. It's Belgian-y-ish. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, what really makes the quads, and I guess I should do some real research on it, is just like much higher ABV. You know, it's just getting up there. So when you think about it, using something like a Abbey Quad as a vehicle for bourbon barrel aging, it seems like the perfect opportunity to really, really, really showcase the bourbon.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of, you know, it's more of like a... There aren't a ton of... What I'm trying to get at is there aren't a ton of strong flavors in the quad itself originally. So the bourbon is going to be able to be front and center when you use it.
And it definitely is front and center. Yeah,
and that's 100% going on with this beer.
It's a really good beer, though.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather enjoy this.
It is good.
Like, sometimes I get bourbon barrels that are bourbon barrel series or stouts or whatever that are just a little too bourbon. And it makes it a little harder to choke down. But, like, this one's pretty smooth, pretty easy. I'm pretty impressed with this Hardywood so far. This one does finish dry, just like the last one.
Yes, it does. Yeah,
real dry.
This is I think, you know, being bourbon, first of all, will give you a drying feeling in your mouth. But also having been in barrels, you know, with wood, you know, that'll give you some drying characteristics. So this is this episode and the last episode, the only two times I've had any beers by this Hardywood, and doing well for me thus far.
Yeah.
So two for two, Hardywood.
Yeah.
Hey, Hardywood, would you like to send some beers into the show? You can compete. You know you can compete.
Yeah, because you make some good beers. They probably do very well.
Contact me, brutalbattlepodcast@gmail.com. It's real simple. Get on that computer, do a few keystrokes, you're there. Yep. And then you can be claiming your prize, maybe not at the top, because I can't ever, you know... Can't ever guarantee that for anyone. This is a fair show, so.
This is a very good beer. I really like it.
Yeah. So we're in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware, and anyone craft beer wise who thinks about Rehoboth thinks about Dogfish Head. You know, Dogfish Head's in Milton, Delaware. That's not far from Rehoboth. Rehoboth Beach is where Dogfish Head started
in the little brew pub.
Yep, in the little brew pub, which they still use for brewing.
Yeah, their trial beers.
Yep.
and scratch beers, if you will.
They always have the exclusives there at the brew pub, and that's the main reason to go.
Yeah.
Because when you come into town, there are things that you're never going to be able to get unless you're eating there. Well, you don't actually have to eat. You can just stop in and drink.
But the food's good.
The food is actually quite good at the brew pub.
Their corn and crab chowder. Oh, it's wonderful. If you ever get down, definitely try it.
You know, when I thought corn and crab chowder, I was like, eh.
It sounds weird, but it's delicious.
Yeah, well, Rebecca got some, and I'm like, I'll just take a little taste. And Kyle, you saw what happened after that. I probably ate half of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's phenomenal. And I had a really good pizza, this Alpine Ideal Pizza. It was like, what all did it have on it? 75-minute braised mushrooms with prosciutto, goat's cheese, and like a balsamic reduction on it.
But speaking of the 75-minute, that's one of the beers that I had. It's a wonderful beer. It was on cask last night. If you get it in the bottle, I think they call it 75-minute IPA.
Yes, they do.
But if you get it at the brew pub, I think they change the name to Johnny Cask. And the labels are a little bit different. It's just a little bit different on cask than it is out of a bottle. I've had it both ways. The cask is much better. When it warms up to room temperature, I mean, it is a very, very smooth IPA. You still get that nice resiny taste. You still get the nice flower and citrus notes out of the hops. But the cask, and once it warms up just a little bit, it really comes through. It finishes pretty clean. It doesn't linger like a lot of IPAs do. But it's a very good beer. And I know you had one as well.
I did have one. And the thing that could catch some people off guard about the whole cask way of serving it is it's warm. You know, it's not a cold beer when you're getting it. And I know a lot of people think, you can't have beer not cold. But you can, and it's still good.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't really affect anything. Actually, you know, as craft beer warms up, obviously, it opens up more. Yeah. So you get
more flavor out of it.
Exactly.
What I like to do a lot of times is I like to pour my beer, start drinking it, taste it cold, get whatever I can out of it, drink it, and just kind of stretch it out over, you know, an hour or so and let it warm up to room temperature. And once it gets to that room temperature, I like to try it again and see what all flavors I'm getting out of it that I didn't get out of when it was cold. And it'll amaze you. Sometimes you'll get a lot more flavor. You'll pick up something new once it's warm over when it was cold. Because, like you've said it before on the pod, the cold just kind of kills a lot of the flavor of the beer. So
it makes it clam up. Yeah, it really does.
So the English that do the casks are, I mean, they know what they're doing.
Yeah,
they know how to open up a beer and make it wonderful.
I mean, a good comparison for how it is... is if you think about how air molecules react to cold versus warm, you know?
Is this a science lesson?
No.
Dude, school ended like a month ago.
For you, it did. So, I mean, if you think about it, like, when it's cold outside, air molecules, and this happens, like, within the air in your tires, too, you know, the air molecules, like, huddle together, and they don't move a whole lot. But when it's hotter outside, it's warmer, they, you know, air expands because molecules kind of get more vivacious and kind of bounce around a little bit more. So
vivacious, that's a good word.
Thank you.
That's the word of the day.
Yeah, vivacious.
Ah!
Yeah, just like Pee-wee's Playhouse. God, I miss Pee-wee's Playhouse. I used to love that show.
If only he hadn't got caught in that movie theater, maybe we'd still be watching it.
You know, I still don't have a problem with it because, hey, what were people doing following him in there anyway? I mean, that's true. Legit business. Okay, I might be getting myself in trouble. I'm just gonna stop right there.
We're gonna move on a little bit. Yeah. What else did you have a dogfish head last night, Carla?
Oh, you all, obviously every time you have to go, just need to get samples to taste and see what's good. Like we're saying, they have exclusives to the brew pub, and that's the main reason to go, because they won't even let you fill growlers of it. So that beer is not leaving that location.
They also do Randalls on certain days too.
Yeah.
And if nobody's familiar with the Randall, it's just this contraption that they hook onto the draft that they put, you know, fresh hops, or they've even put like caramels and just anything they want to into this Randall, and then they run the beer through it. As the beer runs through it, the alcohol from the beer strips off some of those essential oils from the hops and just gives it this bright, beautiful hoppy flavor right out of the draft, out of the tap. It's cool. I think they do it like Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Nice. Well, then...
I don't know. Check the dates. I'm sure it's on their website.
Then you'll be around for it.
That's one of those things I always make a trip up for the Randall.
Oh, nice. Well, it's something I will yet have to experience in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But last night had some interesting stuff. I had said earlier in the episode, I tried the Festina Pesh. I had had that a long time ago, like a long time ago, before I was like really, really into craft beer. And I did not like it at all. Last night, quite enjoyed it. I thought it was a nice beer. It's a Berliner Weiss. Also tried the Palo Santo Marone again.
That's one of my favorites.
Yeah, I had had that like 6-7 years ago and hated it because it was too much for me at that time, but I just didn't know. So I tried it again, and you're quite good. Yeah. So I misjudged it.
Yeah, my my mother-in-law describes it as road tar. So that kind of gives you an idea of what it is. It's a big, thick, heavy, high alcohol beer. It's a big beer. It's not for the faint of heart.
No, not at all.
But it is delicious.
It's wonderful. It's very good. And the woody characteristics in like such a dark beer. Mm-hmm. Really nice. Plays extremely well.
Well, that's where they get the name for the Palo Santo from. It's from the Palo Santo wood that they get from, I think it's South America. And they have a whole barrel that they just age it in. Or it's not called a barrel. It's some huge vat. I forget what word you used for it last night. But
Fooder?
Yeah, fooder. Yeah. It's one of those, only it's got that Palo Santo wood. And the Palo Santo wood, I took a tour of the brewery a couple years ago. They let us hold a chunk of it. It's like, it's heavy like concrete. It is. It's a very, very dense wood. So for the beer to be able to pull anything out of it kind of amazes me, but it's a really good beer. I love Palo Santo. It's one of my favorites.
Some of the exclusives that they had that I tried, they had the Sultan's Magic Fruit Ale, which was actually, Kyle's not a big fan of coffee and beer. It was just coffee like crazy.
It was coffee through and through.
Yeah, it. I really didn't taste much else, other than some dark malts, coffee, dark malts and coffee. And it was actually brewed with some Turkish, Turkish coffee roast.
Yeah, and if I'm correct, I believe that beer was actually caffeinated too.
Yes, correct.
So,
I thought it was good if you like coffee, but if you don't, you wouldn't like it at all. They had a
like me.
Yeah. They had a double lager, which was pretty good. They just called it double L. Very syrupy, which is really odd to get like a syrupy, heavy, dark lager. Yeah, you're like, what is this?
Kind of contradicts what a lager is. Lager is usually like crisp and refreshing, and it was double lager.
It's kind of good though because it was giving it like a little bit of like that raisiny note to it, a little apricotish. It was kind of good. I enjoyed that. What else did I have? I think I steered you a little wrong on this because I really liked it, but you weren't so big on it.
I was not a fan. I'm not a big fan of thyme, though.
Yeah, it was a beer called Brewed for Naught, and it was a Saison style, but it was brewed with Simcoe hops, so it was hoppier.
Mm-hmm. I like the hops. I like the style. I like Saisons, but...
It had thyme in it. Yeah, and that's how each sip finishes with that thyme note. Yeah. I didn't know you weren't into thyme, so sorry.
I didn't really know I wasn't into thyme until then.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought that was really good.
Yeah, normally that's not a strong flavor that I get on a daily basis. So, but it wasn't bad. It was good for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But and if you like thyme, it's a wonderful beer. But if you don't like thyme like me, then it's probably not something I would recommend.
Yeah, and I tried their new wasabi, which was like. A beer brewed with wasabi and I believe rose petals. And if it's not brewed with rose petals, it tasted like wasabi and rose petals.
I think it is brewed with rose petals.
Okay, well then I picked up on it right. And that would make sense in the name, wasabi.
Yeah.
So.
Rose and wasabi, yeah.
But it was good for what it was supposed to be. It's not something I would want to drink much of. And Rebecca felt the same way. She actually finished the rest of it. I had a little bit and she liked it more than I did. But... A good use of if you're going to use rose petals and wasabi together, I guess. But it's just not a beer that I'd want to go back to all that often.
I want to know how they come up with these ideas. Like, who was sitting around?
June.
Yeah. How was Sam sitting around thinking, what would go good with this, with wasabi? Rose petals. Yeah. Sure, why not?
Well, I mean, he's been doing this for so long that, I'm sure he just thinks about a crazy... ingredients and it's just like, how can I incorporate this into a beer? And then since he's been doing it so long, I think he probably has a good idea of what flavors are going to blend well. Yeah. So he'll just kind of think and be like, okay, I got wasabi, what is going to balance with wasabi well? So then, and I'm sure he does some trial and error and like makes small batches himself. And it's just kind of like, what if we try wasabi with, some type of wood? Oh no, that doesn't work. What if we try it with grasshoppers, that doesn't work,
Grasshoppers?
I don't know, I'm just pulling things out. I don't know.
I would drink an insect beer. I'm not going to lie.
Sure. Why not? I'd try all of it.
There's beard beer, so why not insect beer?
I said I would try that Dock Street beer with the cranberries and the goat's brains. The goat brains. I mean,
yeah.
Why not? If it's in a beer, let's do it.
Yeah.
I'm down. Yeah. So you hear it, breweries. Go ahead. Here's a challenge. Create an insect beer that's good.
But if you're not experimenting, then you're not moving forward. You're not moving on. You're not going to get anything new.
Yeah, if you just...
You got to experiment some.
If you're just sticking to what you know, you're not... You're going to die out. Because that's the other thing, is that the microbrew community is getting a lot of breweries. And at some point, it's going to reach oversaturation, and the not-so-good ones are going to die out. Mm-hmm. Or the ones that just refuse to adapt and push forward.
Yeah, and it seems like styles kind of come and go, too.
Yeah,
seems like sours are getting real big. I think that started on, the West Coast, and it's kind of worked its way to the East Coast here. But, you know, there was a time where I know wheat beers were huge.
Yeah.
Porters, stouts, you know, now sours. So it seems like all these things kind of come and go. But if the breweries don't adapt to it, then people aren't going to go to them. So
yeah, and
you
got to
experiment. You got to play around with it.
I think they're going to keep cycling. You know, it's kind of like fashion styles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when people had the pedal pushers way back in the day, or clam diggers, as people would call them, and all of a sudden,
bell bottoms.
Yeah, now they're back. It's, you know, 3/4 length pants. Everyone's all about them, and you know, just like with fashion, they keep recycling. You know, I think it's going to happen with beer styles. You know, there will be a time again when wheats are huge.
Yeah, and it seems like the bourbon barrel and wood aged beers are real big right now.
Yep,
seems like every brewery has one, which is great because I love those beers. So
yeah, I'm down with it. I think saisons are starting to get a little more recognition now as well, which is good.
Same way with session IPAs, they're getting pretty big too.
Oh, that's because that's like a relatively new thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, very cool. One other thing we need to talk about related to Rehoboth is we did a beer exchange.
Yes.
Did we not?
Oh, God, yes. It was Christmas come early. I mentioned that on the last episode. I did a beer exchange with Carlin and Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
And Nathan brought me in some Pliny the Elder, and Carlin brought me in a Heady Topper. So it was Christmas come early. I did love the look on your wife's face, though. Because as soon as he handed me the Heady Topper, it was, 5 seconds after that, I cracked it open and started drinking it, and she was kind of surprised by that. But it's one of those beers that I could not wait for. It was already ice cold.
It was.
But by the end, it was just
phenomenal.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that beer was compliments of Adam Miller from The Beer Kind.
Adam, you're the man.
Yeah.
I want to thank you again for that, sir.
He is one of the most generous craft beer individuals I've ever met, I will say.
That's awesome.
He's a hell of a guy, and everyone, please support what he's doing. He's trying to create a craft beer brand, which is something for us craft beer lovers. Check out his website, thecraftkind.com. He's got some stuff up there at the moment that you can check out. He will be working on more things. He's always got more things in the works, so check it out. And thank you so much, Adam, and making a young child's wish come true for Kyle. Getting him that Heady Topper.
It was. I felt like a schoolgirl again.
Again?
Yeah.
You were a schoolgirl at once?
That's a whole other story. We'll get into that later on.
Yeah, so that was good. And we had a good exchange. You know, we got some good beers back and forth. I gave a bunch of Duclaw beers to Kyle.
That Bourbon Barrel Aged Serum. Mm-hmm. I can't wait for that. Serum is a fantastic beer.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Serum from Duclaw.
Yeah, and it's a double IPA.
You put that on Bourbon Barrel and I about creamed my pants when I saw it, so I'm really excited for that one.
I'm excited for some stuff as well. He got me some more Lavery beers, which I've been very impressed with what Lavery's done. I haven't had any beers that I disliked yet, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of everything else. You gave me so many friggin' beers. I was just like, it's an overload. It really is.
That sour from Almanac.
My God, I'm so excited for that. The Farm to Table.
Yeah.
Oh,
one out is Big Brown from Voodoo, which is a solid brown, man. It's good. It's very good. I don't know. There's a bunch of stuff in there.
Good thing is, it was just like Christmas. And that's what I said to Rebecca. I was like, I feel like it's Christmas again.
That's kind of the way it is pretty much every time we get together. There's always a beer exchange.
Always a beer exchange.
Which is great because I can get some stuff that he can't because I'm near the Erie area. You know, I'm like an hour and a half, 2 hours away from Erie. So I get some of the stuff from down there. And he's, you know, Maryland. So he gets stuff that I can't find. So it works out rather well.
It does. I would urge everyone listening to find a craft beer friend that you can meet up with every now and then.
in person and just kind of, you know, do an exchange. But don't do it like, give me this and give me that. Do it like, I'll bring you some beer and you bring me some beer. Because I think it's more fun that way.
Make it a surprise.
It's
exactly. Much better that way.
So everyone heed that and make it happen.
Find a buddy.
Yeah, find a friend.
It's the buddy system.
Find a craft beer friend. Well, it's that time. We've gone up to the time when we taste these mystery beers and we cast harsh judgment upon them. See what kind of weird smells and flavors we can pick out. So let's get into it and do it. Beer A is looking very light.
Yep, it's another one of those nice straw-colored beers.
Looks like it could be wheat, saison, or something like that.
It's a little hazy.
You know, it looks lemon. It looks lemony color.
Yeah, that's
but hazy, yeah.
Nice white head on it.
Yeah, very white head to it. Ooh.
Okay. Are we smelling?
Go ahead and smell.
Is that another wheat?
Yeah, very weedy to me.
A wheat or a white or something.
It smells very weedy. Smelling that Belgianish yeast.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of citrus coming through. Not a whole lot.
Coriander.
Not as much as the last one.
Coriander.
I don't know what coriander smells like, so I can't pick it out.
A little bit of that banana chip. Slight.
Yeah, little banana chip.
No citrus fruit, but like lemon peel.
Yeah, the peel of the rind.
It smells pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's another one of those wheat, white ales, whatever it happens to be.
It's like, hey, guys, it's pretty typical. It's a wheat. This is a wheat. Hopefully, when we taste it, it's got some sort of crazy twist.
I hope so.
It's just like, yeah.
I'm still waiting for a crazy twist with one of the beers that we've had, and so far they've been fairly straightforward.
Well, I mean, we had that oyster stout, and the crazy twist there is we could not suss out oyster.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a twist.
Yeah. But this one smells good. Another good summer beer.
Yeah.
It's summertime, so, I mean, that's what you're going to find. You're going to find a lot of wheat beers and a lot of the lighter stuff.
Certainly.
Which is good, because most of the time people don't want to drink a use.
I already started tasting as he's talking and looking at me, and he's like, what?
You rat bastard.
I couldn't help it. Every now and then I get a little overzealous, and it's just like, let's just taste this thing.
It's
pretty bitter.
Yeah.
It's a real bitter finish. It's actually like chewing like a lemon peel, in my opinion. That's how bitter that finish is.
Yeah, it's not... It's not great.
I don't think it's bad, though.
No, it's not bad.
I would say the sawtooth we had last episode is better.
Yeah.
I like that a lot more than this. So
there's quick disclaimer about me. There's not a whole lot of beers that I don't like. Like I'm a beer fan. Like beer snob is not the right word. Beer connoisseur is not the right word. Because I truly believe there's a time and a place for everything, whether it's Miller Lite or whether it's the darkest beer in the world. There's a time and a place for everything, and there's a person for everything. And this beer, although it might not be my type of beer, might be somebody else's type. And it's not bad.
It's not.
There's nothing that's, you know, punching me in the face, and, you know, I'll probably finish this.
I just don't like how much of like a citrus rind flavor there is to it, because it's so bitter, and
it's overpowering.
I feel like with lighter styles, with wheats, you don't want like extreme bitter finishes. You want more of like a refreshing finish to it.
Yeah.
And this is just kind of like finishing bitter. So
yeah, it doesn't really have much of a dry finish either.
No, it doesn't.
Which is good. That's, you don't really want a dry finish, you know, when it's 80 degrees outside and sunny. Yeah. You don't want that dry finish. You want it to be refreshing.
Yeah, I agree.
And it is. It serves its purpose.
Yeah, it's fine. I just, that bitterness is a little too much for me, honestly. Yeah.
I already know what I'm going to give that one.
I think the listeners can probably figure it out based on what I said about the sawtooth.
Yeah. All right, let's dive into B. Oh, my God. Caramel?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the coloration on this... It's
I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah,
it's orange.
Yeah, it's caramelly orangey coloration to it. It's got a significant amount of head, and it did when we poured it.
I must have got the bottom of the bottle because there's some shit floating around in it. Are we allowed to swear?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, cool.
We try and stay away from the F-bomb a lot.
Yeah,
no, my rule is TV rules, pretty much. We do have the explicit tag on it, so if you say fuck here and there. That's fine. You can go ahead and do it.
Oh my god. I can't believe that.
It's the explicit tag is
my virgin ears.
It's okay.
Actually, there's caramel definitely.
Yes, it's very caramelish smell to it. It's hoppy though too.
I don't know if I'm picking up a little alcohol on the end of that or not.
I could see a little bit of that. I feel like this is some barrel aged is what it's smelling like to me. I feel like from oak sometimes if there's an oak barrel aged beer, especially like a hoppy one, I feel like I get some caramel notes in the nose. And I feel like, I don't know, I just have a hunch that to me it's smelling like it's oak barrel aged.
It's
not bourbon barrel. If it is oak, then it's very slight. I don't get a whole lot of oak out of it.
I get a lot of caramel malts probably.
Yeah.
There's definitely hops in it because you can get that resiny smell out of it.
Definitely. I have a feeling that this is going to be a bit syrupy in the mouthfeel.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, listeners, but this is one of those beers that every time, if you listen to the past, 70 or 80 episodes, there's going to be beers where he's like, there's something in it that I just can't pick.
Yeah, right.
Well, guess what? There's something in this that I just can't pick out.
I know. It gets tough. That's what's tough about the mystery beer aspect.
It smells really good.
It does smell quite good. I am enjoying the smell of this.
Yeah, cup and swirl.
Oh, when you do that, you get a lot more citrus on the...
Oh, yeah.
But there's... Oh, God.
That's coming from the hops. Yeah. That citrus is hops.
Yeah, really nice citrusy hop notes. A little tropical-ish.
Yeah, like a little pineapple or something.
Yeah. Yep.
All right, I'm trying it.
All right, go for it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, hops.
Yeah.
This is probably what an IPA or a double.
I'm going to guess a double on this.
Yeah, that's a good beer. There's definitely some astringency.
Yeah.
Astringency in the back. Mm. A little bit of alcohol.
Yeah, there's some alcohol to it.
It's not overpowering, though. It's nice. It's pleasant.
It's a little chewy, if you know what I mean when I say chewy. Like, you get kind of like big hop beers, and they just feel thick. You know what I mean? It's like you have to chew a little bit of the hops in there, which I like. I like chewy hoppiness.
Oh, God.
This is a good beer.
This is really good. Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Serum.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit from Duke Law.
A little serum-y. I still feel like there might be some oak barrel agent on this sucker. I don't know.
I'm not getting a whole lot of oak barrel.
But yeah.
This has to be a double IPA.
Because I'm not getting much. I'm getting a slight bit of like a carameliness in the mouth, in the flavor, but
a little bit.
Not much at all.
I got honestly. More out of the smell than I did out,
a
of,
lot
the,
more
out
of
the taste.
Smell.
This is... Like, it smells good. It tastes good. This is a damn good beer, man.
I'm going to do something that's kind of effed up. There are a few aspects of this beer that I see in Heady Topper.
Really?
Right, yeah. This is, I think... Okay, I need to be careful when I do this. But
you'll be lynched if you say the
wrong
thing.
I say if...
Not by me, but by...
The thing is, there are so many layers to Heady Topper, and it's very complex.
I see what you're saying.
If you pull out one layer in Heady Topper and separate it out, I feel like it's this beer.
Yeah, I'm agreed. I am very agreed with that.
So, it's obviously not nearly as good as Heady Topper, but there is one particular flavor, the hoppy flavor, the chewy double IPA flavor characteristics taste like a component of what makes up Heady Topper to me.
I'm agreed. And then Carlin and I were talking about this earlier. He was talking about, session IPAs and IPAs and all that. And I'm not a huge fan of IPAs that are just bitter for bitter's sake.
Yeah.
There's got to be that malt background, that little bit of sweetness to balance out those hops, and this definitely has that. That goes in with those layers you were talking about.
It's resiny. It's got some pininess to it.
Yeah.
From listening to this podcast, people, that I'm typically not all that big on piney hoppy beers.
I don't get a whole lot of pine.
But they're in the finish to me, with the resin flavor, there's some pininess. And I think that's where maybe you're getting like the caramel notes on the nose. Because citrus and pine together kind of a little caramelly.
Yeah, I get more of the astringency in the back, that alcohol in the back.
This is...
I don't get a whole lot of pine.
This is a nice beer.
It's a nice beer.
This is a... Oh God, this is a really nice beer.
This is a really good beer.
I'm feeling kind of conflicted.
I'm not conflicted at all. This is wonderful.
It made me 100% forget about Beer A even existing. I was like, oh yeah, there's a Beer A here that we need to give number two.
Are we rating them?
Okay, let's go with A first.
At two.
Two, I know. Two. I was going to go there too, and I'm sure everyone listening could have figured that out when I was like, it's not as good as Duclos, and we gave that three for the Sawtooth.
Yeah.
We gave us three, so whatever.
Beer A is just, it's not bad. It's still a good beer.
It's a beer.
I would drink it. I would drink it again.
Yeah.
If somebody was like, hey, here's Beer A, whatever it happens to be, I'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll take that.
I would pass on it. Not my thing.
Really?
Yeah.
I would drink
it. I would.
But again, disclaimer. I'm a beer fan, so I'll drink pretty much
whatever. I just have certain tastes I'm looking for, you know?
Yeah. But Beer B is fantastic.
It is. It's very nice. It's very nice. It's very nice. It's very nice. Okay.
I'm stuck between two.
Two numbers. I'm stuck between two numbers as well, and I think they might be the same numbers for us. Okay. Why don't you go ahead and take the lead?
Let me get one more sip of this thing.
Okay.
I agree. I'm actually almost out.
I'm again, not.
Carlin,
you're first. Okay. It's really well crafted.
It's a really good beer.
I'm between two.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. I think I'm
go low.
I want you to take the lead on this.
Alright.
I really do.
I'm gonna finish it up.
This one's giving me a hard time.
Finish it up, rookie.
Yeah, do it. And I still have plenty of my beer left.
Was this the big bottle, number two?
So
there might be more.
It's a 22 ounce. You can tell from the outline. You know, they sit here in bags, so we don't know what they are yet. But the thing is, you know, when you're looking at the bags, that one's taller than the other one. So it's there's some left in there because it's the 22 ounce. Is what it looks like.
All right. So since I'm brutal battling these scores,
right?
I'm actually gonna go seven. This is a nice beer.
It is. It's
this, if I was rating this on Untappd, this would get, you know, a 4.5 or 5 out of 5 for me. But since this is brutal battle, and you got to be brutal, you got to be honest. I mean, there's still some things that I could look for out of this beer, but I'm gonna go 7.
I think it's a really good beer, but at the same time, there are a lot of beers that are out there that are a lot better. Yeah. And this is when
not a lot of beers that are better.
Because here's one of the things when you think about it, you have to at some in my position at least. You have to start doing some comparisons.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing the comparison, and I'm looking at this beer, and I'm thinking about Racer 5. And obviously, that's the measuring stick the show.
If you handed me a Racer 5 and whatever this beer is, I'm going to take this beer.
Right.
Because the Racer 5, for me, is just missing that wow factor. Like, mm-hmm. it's a good beer. It is a solid beer, and it is a very good beer. But it's just missing that punch, that something that I look for. This beer has that over the Racer 5 for me. I was stuck between a 7 and an 8.
Oh, really? A 7 and an 8?
Dude, I like this beer.
Oh, man, that's...
But I went 7 because it's Brutal Battle.
You went 7 because of Brutal Battle?
What are you giving it?
You know, it's tough because I was between a 6 and a 7.
Were you?
And honestly, what happens is if it gets a 7, then it has to go up against Racer 5. Problem is...
I would put this beer up against Racer 5.
Problem is we don't have a Racer 5. So what the hell do we do?
Well, there's liquor stores near.
They don't have it here. I don't think they get Bear Republic in this area. So we'd kind of be at an impasse. I was thinking 7, but I was also between a 6. And for that reason...
You're going to go 6, aren't you?
I would...
Well, at least this is in the top 5. Top 5, top 3.
Well, yeah. Top 5 for sure, I believe. Maybe 3, I don't know.
Was Big Dipper in the top... Top
yes,
two.
Yes. It was Big Dipper was like, there are three at the top. There's the Morning Glory, Espresso Stout, Big Dipper, and then obviously Racer 5 at the top.
Big Dipper's another one of those beers that you got me.
So yes.
I'm excited to try that one.
That's a killer beer.
I never had that one, but...
But the thing about this beer is that because it comes down to a point where, you know, it would force a face-off and we don't have the ability to do that.
You're going
to
take the easy way out, aren't you?
No.
All right.
Because I sat here and I thought about it. And I'm like, I know very well what Racer 5 tastes like. Mm-hmm. Very well. And I think it's a bit better crafted. Mm-hmm. It's got a bit, at least for me, it's got a bit more of what I'm looking for in a beer. Okay. And so I would give it the slight edge over whatever this beer is.
Hey,
so
like I said earlier, there's a time and a place for every beer and a person for every beer. And if you like Racer 5 better than this one, by all means, give it a 6.
So for
it's
that,
it's still a really good beer, though.
It is really good beer. And for that reason, I want to do something on the show that we've never done before. And I'm going to give it a 6.5.
Oh,
I'm going to allow myself to give it the 6.5.
So 6.75.
So 6.75. So it'll give it that little extra in the overall rankings to get it up there right behind the Big Dipper and right behind the Morning Glory.
Yeah.
Sorry, everyone.
I didn't know we could go halves.
We can't. All right. And that's the thing. We typically can't. But in this instance, I'm making an exception. I'm allowing it to happen because I do feel like it's a little bit unfair for me to do this, but on the other hand, like, we can't do the comparison. We don't have the ability to.
Yeah.
Unless people, you know, Racer 5, or Bear Republic, you send me Racer 5s, you know. And the other thing is Racer 5 is going to become harder for me to get in the future. So we'd have to have a beer that outright beats it.
Yeah. There's a couple different versions of Racer 5, too, but that's
neat. The Cafe 15 or whatever that they make
there's
double version of it is crazy.
There's like a black IPA version of Racer 5.
Yeah,
too.
Black Racer. I've had that one. That's
which
good.
There's also Snake, which is
Okay. Oh, yeah, Black Racer. Okay.
Would you care to reveal?
Well, 6.75 for B. My apologies. People feel free to send me hate mail over this.
You're going to get hate mail from me, just so
okay, know. Sounds good. I'll read it. I'll read it on the show. A, with an overall of 2, totally losing this episode, but not a terrible beer.
No, not bad at all.
Swing.
Victory.
It's a session Saison by Victory, ale brewed with spices.
You know, Victory for me is kind of hit or miss. Like, I love Hop Devil. Their Hop Ranch is phenomenal beer.
Yeah, yeah.
Storm King, wonderful. But there's some of the Victory beers that I'm just not big on. This is apparently one of them. But again, as I said before, I'm not a huge wheat beer guy.
Yeah.
What is this? Is this a wheat beer or a white
ale? It's a Saison. Yeah. So Saison.
Kind of the same style for me.
4.5% alcohol. Yeah. It says swing. It's a lively jazz rhythm, a vigorous sway, a change of view, or even a roll in the proverbial hay. Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it also means the welcome jolt of joy you'll experience upon your first sip of this session Saison. Bracing but benign, this Belgian-style A enlivens any experience with a spicy, aromatic start, citrus snap, and fresh finish.
All right, come
spring
on.
Into spring with a swing into spring with taste.
I want to see what number 2 is.
Okay,
if you want to read the description for swing, get on the internet and read it on the internet.
So B,
I want to see what B is.
B's the winner overall, 6.75, and there's more left, so we can drink some of it. Is
dang right, I'm gonna drink more of it.
Oh, Rye IPA, spelled RHYE. IPA from Smutty Nose.
Oh, nice.
Very
well
good.
Done, Smutty Nose.
Yeah, Smutty Nose, killing it. Let me see if I can find the ABV on this sucker.
It's got to be a higher.
I don't see it. Oh, they put it on like the yellow text that they put on the bottles for date coding. That's how they put the ABV on there. 6.8.
Okay.
That's actually really low for what I would think.
I would have guessed higher than that.
So rye in there. Okay.
I didn't get any. Normally you get a little bit of pepper from rye. Huh.
So here's what the text on here is. Smutty Nose, it's in their big beer series. Big beers in big bottles, released seasonally in very limited quantities. The Rye IPA bowls its way into our lineup because we love really hoppy beers, and we're looking for an opportunity to play with rye malt and add a big boatload of hops. Would a rhino enjoy the big flavor? We don't know, but let us know if you find out.
There's a rhino on the bottle.
Yeah, there's a rhinoceros.
So everybody gets that reference.
And I'm trying to see if there are any hops on the rhinoceros anywhere or anything, but no. That would have been clever, but
that
would have
been cool.
That is
a good beer, though. I will be picking up some of that if I can find it.
It is quite a good beer, and, you know, like I said, apologies for not being able to get it much higher. But honestly, in my opinion, I think that the Racer 5 is a better beer. It's a better beer.
I've had it. Well, for you.
And the Big Dip is better.
Is it?
Yeah. And the Morning Glory.
I can't wait.
Espresso style. So.
I can't wait for that Big Dip. It's going to be awesome.
Well, text me and let me know what you think.
Oh, you know I will.
All right. Well, anyway, that about wraps it up. We've gone a little long on this one, but I think it warranted it. So good job, Smutty Nose.
Yeah, very well done. Send us some beers.
Yeah, send some beer, Smutty Nose. Dang. Dang, come on. Where are you at?
Good job. You guys are in the top 3 or top 5?
Top 5.
Top 5, definitely.
Top 5, yeah.
See, you could have been in the top five, Smutty Nose. Send some beers, man.
Yeah, come on. And if you think you have anything better, hey, it could happen.
We'd love to try it.
Yeah. All right, thank you everyone for listening. Listen to it next time, and please...
keep it brutal.
Hello, this is an addendum to the episode that you just listened to, a Brutal Battle podcast. After much discussion with my cohort on this podcast, my wife Rebecca, we decided that what happened with the Smutty Nose Rye IPA was in fact the incorrect thing to do. Basically what I did in this podcast is I changed my score down from what I originally wanted to give the Rye IPA because we did not have the Racer 5 available to do the head-to-head. That actually spurred a pretty large discussion that Rebecca and I had recently, and we talked about how if we keep it so that if we can't get one of the beers, because I had then brought up that the Rye IPA is a limited release beer, so if that were to become the top beer, it would be hard to get it again in the future to compare anything else to it. To which Rebecca brought up, well, if that's the case, then that kind of brings all these special release beers out of the podcast, which is a problem. So what I'm deciding to do going forward is to make sure that we can not disclude any of, like, any beers out there pretty much that she might want to throw into the Brutal Battle arena. So what we're going to do is sometimes if we have to have beers sharing the Master Brewer Lord title, we will do that in the future. You know, a good beer is a good beer, and after thinking about it, I don't think rating a beer lower because it would have to face off against another beer and one of them's not available is not a good thing to do. So, that said, for this particular episode, I am revising the rating of the Smutty Nose Rye IPA. I was originally going to give it a 7. I gave it a 6.5 on the podcast. So it is changed to a 7 officially, and Kyle Norman had given it a 7 as well, so that is an overall 7, tying the Bear Republic Racer 5 IPA. Now, because of that, in the next bunch of episodes, actually there are 2 more episodes that we ended up recording with Kyle Norman, so please stick around and listen to those. Because of that, we aren't able to do a side-by-side comparison. I'm going to try to do a side-by-side comparison of the Rye IPA and the Bear Republic, but if we cannot, then they will just stay tied for the moment. But hey, we'll figure something out. Also thinking about taking all the beers that have reached a 7, for anyone out there who doesn't remember, that'd be the Bear Republic, obviously, the Rye IPA by Smutty Nose, also the Morning Glory Espresso Stout by Old Dominion, as well as the Big Dipa Barrel-Aged Imperial, or Barrel-Aged Double IPA by Heavy Seas. So I'm thinking about getting all those together and maybe ranking them, tasting them all at the same time, if they're available. So going forward, we'll just kind of figure things out as we go. Some things can stay tied, and that's just the way it's going to be. So felt like I need to do this and set things straight. Hopefully that that resonates with everyone as being the right thing. I know it does for me. So thank you so much for listening, and continue to listen.
This has been a Nerd Circle podcast production.